Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight we bring you a selection from the Lost Barry tapes, archived for your annoyance and buried in a box in the backyard. Here now, for the first time or second, the complete history of Jack Brabham, Australia's greatest poet. Yes, Brian, that's very sad news that we've had our latest balloons blown out of the sky by those treacherous Americans.
Yes.
Yet again. It's not the first time they've blown shit of ours up.
No.
And I'm just about over it.
I am too.
Might be time to get on to old Gigi Peanut to give us a hand to show them who's boss.
That's right, Brian. I mean, even that good-looking president, Prime Minister, show pony from Canada got in on the act too.
And the Trudeau chappy.
Yes. He got his Shanghai out and had a couple of ball bearings, and he knocked one of our made-in-China balloons out of the sky single-handedly. I mean, he's just a walking, talking Adonis and just showing off how good he is with his biceps and his testicles.
Yeah.
I think we put a hit out on him.
Yep.
I think he's just done too much damage in the world.
Yep.
He's way too good looking to be a man.
He is.
I believe he might be a female impersonator. I've got this funny feeling. Nobody has hair like that, Brian.
No, not in this day and age. With all the fluoride in the water and the talcum powder in the air, there's just no excuse to be that good looking, Brian.
No.
I think that they've really crossed the line now. I mean, the Americans, they're all for free speech, so they reckon. But here we are just going about our business with our new Siamese herring campaign.
Yes.
Bit of free advertising, balloonage style up in the stratosphere.
That's right.
And they keep blowing them up, the bastards.
They just, are.
I'm not up for this at all.
No. I think the thing is they've got no sense of humour, Brian.
No.
We were just practising advertising for the Super Bowl.
Yes.
And, you know, that's like the highlight of the Americans' calendar besides Thanksgiving and Tummy Rubbing Wednesday.
Yes.
The attitude to them is that if you send your own balloon up with Free the Brines on the side, it's some sort of like common assault on them.
Yeah.
They take it literally. They bring out all their AR-15s and 18s and 21s.
Yes.
And they start just shitting willy-nilly.
Yeah.
There should be a law against it. I know they've got no laws in the United States.
Oh, no.
But the reality is, Brian, is, you know, this is free speech just being taken down.
It is.
I'm just about ready to start talking to Anthony Albanese about stopping trading, stopping talking to the Americans, and just have a big hissy fit about it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm over it, Brian.
I am indeed, yes. There hasn't been much talk about boycotting.
Yes.
I haven't heard the word boycott for a long time. We've heard all about wars, and we've heard all about recessions, but not boycotting. Mm. I love the word boycott.
Yes.
It brings back fond memories of the 80s when we used to go around boycotting everything and anything.
Mm.
All the time we used to boycott our local members of parliament. We used to boycott the local fish and chip shop because they didn't put any tomato sauce on their ham and egg burgers.
That's right.
And I think we need to bring this back in a big time, Brian. Maybe we could start a boycotting club where we could offer memberships and discounts. And people could ring up and suggest a boycott of the month.
Yes.
This needs to run parallel with some of these other nonsensical, farcical things like stop the war in Ukraine or the Palestinian business.
Yes.
Sure, that stuff goes on and on and on.
Mm.
But boycotting stuff like blowing down a brine balloon, that should be top of the list, top of everyone's priority, Brian.
I believe you're right there, Brian. I think that maybe we might have to put a new spin on it, the 21st century spin.
Yep.
Call it a girl cot.
Yeah.
That'd get the newspapers going. Rupert Murdoch would be all over it.
Yeah.
When you start talking about girls in cots, people start getting a little bit aroused.
Oh, yes.
Or some, you know, not aroused sexually.
No. Oh, no.
But aroused by the connotation of changing the name from the gender to another or another pronoun, or maybe it then could be them or they cot.
Yes.
That'd have a more bonus when it came to the headline in the newspaper.
Yes.
They cot is happening worldwide, thanks to the brines.
Yes.
Now, I think we could get one of our Chinese-made balloons with that on the side, the big slogan.
Yes.
Laycott is for everybody, not just for the Americans.
No. Nope.
It's for all. It's like food and water and beer.
Yes.
Everybody should have free everything.
They should.
Except probably rent. Everybody's got to pay rent, Brian.
Of some description, Brian, I think everyone needs to pay their way in the world by something, whether it's monetary or chopping off a limb or a human sacrifice.
Yes.
Everyone needs to pay their way, pay their due.
Yes.
But I'm just wondering if Daycott is still a bit anti-pronoun-y, lackily with the LBGT community. I think they has a certain connotation that means that you've got to choose between one gender or the other.
Yes, yes. No.
I think it could still get us in trouble in this day and age, Brian. We might have to get Mr. Umbeki on board to run a few things up the wall and see if the flag will fly off with that one, Brian.
Yeah. I think you're right, Brian. He's a wordsmith, old Umbeki. He's pretty good at the English language, especially when he types out his emails from Nigeria.
Yes.
I think I'd settle on lesbian cot.
Yes.
Gay cot.
Everyone loves a lesbian. Let's be honest.
Oh, that's right. I mean, they have parades and Mardi Gras.
Yes.
It's all happiness. A lesbian cot.
Yes.
Or a gay cot.
Yes.
Would mean fun, games, probably some venereal diseases,
yes.
Maybe even heartache.
Yes.
But the reality is that's what the original term for boycott was. That some people are heartache. They're feeling a bit ill about the situation they're in.
Yes.
That's why they start walking around willy-nilly going, I'm not going to buy that problem.
No.
I'm not going to buy that issue.
Yes.
I'm not going to buy that newspaper.
No.
I hate everybody.
Yes.
Now, hating everybody, what a boycott supposed to be, Brian?
It is.
We know that, don't we, Brian?
Oh, we do. We do. Hate makes the wheels of the world go round. I mean, it's all nice to be lovey-dovey. But we're not living in the Garden of Eden anymore. Unfortunately, Brian, that was knocked down to make way for some industrial complexes.
Yes.
Back, I think, in the 1400s,
yes.
They knocked down the Garden of Eden. They put up a shopping mall that strictly sold Shakespearean goods and dildos.
Yes.
But apart from that, we've got to live in the world that we live in and not live in another world or another planet. We've got to divide our time between here, there, and over there.
Yes.
And I think this is where many people fall down before they get up and dust themselves off to brave the world once more in the LGBT gay lesbian fashion, Brian.
Yes. Yeah, well, that's it, Brian. You've nailed that pretty well there. I believe that sort of sums up in a nutshell or maybe even a shell on the beach.
Yes.
I usually pick up shells when I'm on the beach. Yeah. They talk to me.
They do.
I hear a lot of languages in my head when I'm just by myself.
Yeah.
I'm starting to understand, what Buddha was on about back in the day. Like, he was around, I think, about 2 million years ago. He came along straight after the dinosaurs were wiped out by the plague.
Yes.
They had their own form of coronavirus back then. It was jetted in from another universe.
Yes.
And they just all fell over and cut and turned into fuel and oil, which is we always appreciate. There's always that public holiday we have every year, the old fossil fuel public holiday, is what we're really enjoying these days.
Yes.
The fact that, these pandemics are important, Brian.
They are.
It's basically the end of an era and then the start of a new one.
It is.
It might take a couple of million years or an eon. Yeah. I don't know what an eon is, but I think it's sort of like a negative ion that's got some sort of like attachment to it, maybe hydrogen attached.
Yes.
I don't know, it's very volatile. That's all I know. Just stay away from the eons, Brian.
Yeah.
And, get onto your ions. Ions are good for your crinkle cut clothes.
Yeah.
You've got to really get those punishing grooves and things out of like a...
Wrinkles.
Yes.
You got to get the wrinkles out of it all, Brian.
Oh, yeah. Those sombre shirts.
It's a metaphor for life, Brian.
That's right.
The wrinkles in your shirt are a metaphor for the problems in the world today. And there's many problems, and we need a lot of eons and a lot of ions to actually get on top of it all, Brian. And this is where we were going with the balloon campaign.
That's right.
And there's nothing unidentified about our flying objects, Brian.
No.
And they're clearly marked on the side, made in China.
for the ones that we send into American airspace,
yeah,
and made in America, and the ones that we're starting to send into China airspace.
Yeah.
Same as the ones that we were sending, the Ukrainian ones we were sending over to Russia,
yes,
a year or so ago.
Yeah.
It started a bit of a kerfuffle, but that's what it is about, is to get people talking, to get people engaging, and whether it's in talk, dialogue, or in armed conflict. It's a way of making people come together, Brian.
It certainly is, Brian. I mean, that's what balloons are all about.
Yes.
You know, you get the big basket under it and fill everybody up with champagne, and then and then see if it'll catch on fire.
Yeah.
That brings people together. They're hugging and kissing each other before they cark it.
Yeah.
This is a way to, Valentine's Day.
Yes.
A lot of people go up in a basket, yeah, attached to a balloon or or some hot air thing,
yes,
like probably a politician,
yeah,
attached to it. And that's how they enjoy and show their love for each other, by going on a balloon trip,
yes,
you know, maybe across the Yarra River in Melbourne.
Yeah.
It's only very narrow. It only takes 3 minutes.
Yes.
But that's just how you show your love for another human being or an animal.
That's right.
Or a bird.
Yes.
I mean, I used to take a bird out for a long time there, Brian.
Yeah.
She was a lovely looking thing.
Yep.
Part sparrow.
Yep.
Part vulture.
Yeah.
But, you know, she sucked me dry.
I remember that well.
Money-wise.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, they're a great being to have a relationship with, Brian.
They are, and they don't eat much.
No.
Which is really good on the wallet.
Yes.
You can lash out and take them to lunch,
yep,
or dinner or breakfast or brunch or brinner,
yep,
and you don't have to feed them much.
No.
Which is really handy. And if things go wrong, well, you can feed them to the cat.
That's right. Well, you know, the part vulture's brilliant because, you know, you just take them on road trips all the time, Brian, and
yep,
there's plenty of roadkill. And before you know it, they're going, ah, ah, ah,
yep,
and they're out the window and they're on the road, and
yeah,
it's sort of like, oh, have a nosh on that, you crazy kid.
Yeah.
And then they fly off and you never see them again.
Yeah.
These are the sort of relations I've had over my time, Brian. As you know, there's a lot of flight or fight. Most of the time it's a lot of flight involved.
Yes.
But, you know, that's the spiciness of life.
It is.
I've always enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Sometimes I like my mammals.
Yes.
But anyway, we might have to move on from that, Brian. I might be getting a bit too much go for the
yes,
beautiful listeners out there in Pookast Land.
Yes.
And now, a penguin from our sponsors. Is your crack being creepy? Is your anus being an arsehole? Does your bottom give you the shits? Stop picking on that rectum and reach for Rectinol. Rectinol has been proven to relieve the suffering of sphincters for over 40 years. Remember, Rectinol rhymes with, let's just try again in the morning, dear.
I believe one of the things that's happening in the world at the moment, Brian, that's really intriguing, is that the people in the other side of the planet have been shaken to the core.
Oh, yes.
There's been this massive earthquake,
yep,
caused by the Russians. They're causing all these problems over in the European quarter.
They are.
Apparently, Russia was trying to send an earthquake through Ukraine.
Yep.
They misjudged the timing,
yeah,
and it ended up in the Syria region, which, yes, was pretty well decimated anyway.
Yeah, it was a bit fucked to begin with.
This technology is outstanding, Brian. I take my hat off to the Russians, really, Brian.
I like it. I like what they're doing. They're thinking laterally.
Yep.
They can't blow the shit out of anything. I mean, they've been trying for a long, yeah, time to just decimate the Ukrainian people.
Yeah.
And they're still going in a fashion.
Yeah.
They're living out of cardboard boxes and getting eaten by rats daily.
Yes.
But, you know, they're still hanging on.
Yes.
They're proud of their lifestyle. The Ruskies just can't get a foot up. They're just grasping at straws. So now they're bringing the weather control and geographical control systems on board.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of AI, alien enterprising investigations into this sort of stuff. And now they've really clued up. They've got the algorithms going. rolling. They put some sand and gravel together in a non-combining, reconstituting fashion, and they'd be able to send that off into the ether zone, and then that's recapitulated in some graphic seismology business, and Bob's your uncle.
Yeah.
If it only had happened in the right place, as you say, it would have been all tickety-boo.
Oh, yeah.
But no, they've gone and fucked some other things that they didn't want to fuck till the next phase of the Rusky fucking everything situation, Brian. Mm.
Well, that's right, Brian. They're coming out of winter in Ukraine. They're all they're basically starting to thaw out now, so they're starting on bigger and better things.
Oh, yes.
I can see Poland. It's probably the next step in the grasp of power for sputum.
Yeah.
But they've got unfinished business still in Ukraine.
Yeah.
I believe that the earthquake strategy was quite a good, simple idea.
Yes.
But in practice, they're fucking hopeless at it.
They are.
In fact, they're so hopeless, I think they just should shut up shop.
Yeah.
Jump back in their tanks and go the fuck back home.
Yeah.
This has just turned to a farce. This war's been going on for a year now.
Yeah.
And really, you know, like every time we've been in a war, you know, unless we've been paid handsomely and we want it to go for a long time, like Vietnam, most of the wars we've been in just been over and done with in about 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So, you know, they should have consulted us.
Yeah.
The Russians never talk to us anymore because of that.
No.
Oh, well, we won't go into it, but that fucking idiot Gorbachev, he bloody, I'll never forget that time, Brian, when we were in the Kremlin with him playing table tennis.
Yeah.
He pulled his pants down.
Yeah.
He said, look at me, look at me, look at this.
Yeah.
And we go, mate, fucking there's kids here.
Yeah, put it away.
And he started playing with himself right there. And I mean, he was possessed by, I think at the time, two devils, but in later life, I'm thinking it was more like 24.
Yeah.
You know, there was fire coming out of his ears.
Yeah.
He couldn't raise an erection.
No.
That bothered me because, you know, he was carrying on about it.
He was.
But he was just sitting there soft.
He was.
And
I'm
thinking, geez, you know, mate, if you're going to talk the walk, walk your...
Yeah.
Walk, get your erections sorted, you fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's dead now and that's all that matters.
Yeah, totally embarrassing, Brian. We've expected better of our cohorts that we've been doing espionage and traitorous works with.
Yeah.
We don't like people that just gob off and got nothing to support themselves. And that was old Gorbachev, there for a number of years. He looked promising in the early days. He used to be able to throw a good googly out on the pitch when we played cricket for the St. Petersburg 11.
Yep.
But they were the early days, and we thought that old Brezhnevtov would mature into a fast-paced bowler, but he never did. He just slipped away in the slips and kept slipping till he slopped himself out of business, Brian.
Well, that's right, Brian. Well, he was continually on the wobka.
Yeah.
He was a raving...
he was.
But he was good company. I mean, there was times there when we were out the back of the Kremlin playing a bit of cricket.
Yeah.
He was a fanatic for soccer.
Yeah.
He used to put his old Adidas boots on that he got when he was 4 years old. Yeah. They still fitted him.
Yes.
And he'd be kicking around. He'd be doing headers. Yeah. He'd be sliding into people and taking calves out.
Yep.
And he was in his element.
He was.
When he was around a soccer ball, Brian. He was what you'd call the Pelé of the Russian front.
Yes.
But Pelé's dead too now, so I suppose that sort of like sums it all up.
It does.
He was really dead, really in between the ears most of his life.
Oh, yeah.
But God, he could drink, Brian. I remember that night we were out in the square there, the Red Square.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were all nude.
Yeah.
And he said, righto, let's get some wobka into us. So he poured it all over himself and set himself alight.
Yeah.
Now, that to me was just pure genius.
It was.
Because it was very dark.
Yeah.
He was like a Roman candle, but in sort of like a weird one.
Yeah.
But, geez, he grew his skin back. I think he was like some amphibious creature.
Yeah.
He was like one of those, what do you call it? Not a civet.
Datsun.
A raccoon?
A raccoon.
Yeah, he was like a raccoon.
He was, yeah.
Grow his fur back.
Yep.
And then he'd recite something from Karl Marx.
Yeah.
Karl Marx was one of his favourite dictator leaders.
Yeah.
Fanciful childhood sexual antics led him to believe that Karl Marx
yes.
was really like a god,
yeah.
a sexual god.
Yes.
And he sort of had a lot of time for Karl.
Yeah.
And he used to go on about Hitler,
he did.
The manifesto.
Oh, yeah, a little bit.
This was troubling. You know, like when you're listening to him, it was very troubling when he's talking about different things when it came to, you know, different ethnic groups.
Yes.
And then he started talking about the old playing volleyball.
Yeah.
Now, that's probably one of the most boring sports in the world, volleyball. Brian, I know.
Comes very close to it.
Oh, so it's just, you know, it's not even in the annals of time of a what you call makes people aroused. I mean, you know, most sports arouse people, like fox shooting or show jumping.
Greco-Roman wrestling.
That's it. That's the one, Brian, where everybody gets very sexually aroused and there's
touching, a lot of touching.
Yeah, anything that can cause fisticuffs is a very important sport, Brian, as you're aware.
It is. It's bringing the natural instinct for human beings to kill and maim and torture to a level that could be enjoyed by the masses rather than just the few.
Yeah.
And so this is where sports are really imperatively tragic.
Yes. But moving on to another subject, Brian, that is very dear to our heart.
Oh, yes.
And that's beer. Now, beer's gone up in price quite a lot here in Australia.
It is ridiculous.
You know, I think because I think hops are going through the roof price-wise.
Yeah.
But I think it's a bit of a gouging going on with the headline inflation being used to just put the fucking prices up.
Yeah.
I found now the carton of beer is going to cost you about $90.
Yeah.
For three-pack.
Yep.
You know, I don't mind paying it if it's good quality, but, I mean, some of the stuff they're putting out now is just fucking rubbish. It's some of it tastes like kerosene, which I don't mind.
No.
But, I mean, you know, if I was going to just drink kerosene, I'd just go down to the local tip and go into the bin there where people just throw it out.
Yeah.
But no, they're fucking – and then they charge you more if it's cold.
They just do.
Disgusting.
It is ridiculous. Brian, I think people just need to wake up to themselves these days.
Mm.
There's this perpetual up and down financial cycle that we go through as we have boom times, and then someone just pulls the rug out underneath and goes, oh, no, things are gone south. We need a recession, inflation, the unemployment figures. And next minute you're paying $15 for a bottle of crack, which is just fuck. Brian, it's just absolutely
milk.
I paid $21.07 for a thimble full of milk yesterday.
Yes,
and it wasn't even cow's milk.
No,
it was cat's milk.
Yes,
and I'm just really fucking disgusted by it, Brian. I've gone off drinking cat milk altogether now.
I don't blame you, Brian. I mean, this inflation thing—it's all that shit.
Yeah,
I mean, we're still paying the same amount for our heroin than we were 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Now, this is astonishing that, you know, the peddlers of, you know, this powdery stuff that, you know, is great to inject and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Have got more sensibility and decorum about it than, say, your local supermarket or department store.
Yes.
Or alcohol establishment.
Yes.
These people who they want to put in jail if they catch them, you know, have got sincerity about them. They're not just pumping the price up because they can.
No.
They've got a market.
Yes.
They understand the needs and the wants of people who've got a drug addiction.
Yes.
Or, you know, have got some mental problems.
Yes.
But they don't feed off that. They don't, you know, jack the prices up and go, oh, inflation.
No.
We've got supply chain problems.
Yes.
Oh, fucking what?
Supply chain.
Yeah, supply chain.
Fucking.
Yeah, we can't get the trucks to work.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking fix them, you fucking retard.
Use a drone.
Fucking.
Fucking idiot.
You know, you've got 14 cats and I've got 9.
Yeah.
And the cat food bill's gone through the roof, Brian.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, yeah, you go and buy a sachet of cream de menthe kitty and fish dinner that used to be $4 and now it's $6.50. Now, I can't even afford that for myself, Brian.
No. I've stopped giving lamb chops to the cats these days. That's just way too expensive. I've just taken a feeding them live lambs. I don't know how long that'll last.
No.
They're rather expensive. $40 a ton from lambs on the hoof these days.
Yep.
It takes a while for the cats to chill through that furry business they got growing on them, Brian.
It does.
So I don't know how long I'll be able to last with that. The turtle supplies run out. I used to love turtles on Friday nights. Yep. I really used to nosh into them. But that's a bit expensive.
Oh, it is.
So I think I'm going to have to just go back to feeding them sausages. They like their chicken sausages, and they like their ham and egg burgers too, Brian.
That's right.
So I think I'll just have to cut it down to the 2 ton of food a day for them now.
Well, that's right, Brian. That's why you bought the forklift. I know that you know, you had the forklift and the bobcat to pick up all that food, and you know, it came in handy, especially when you adopted another litter of 16 more kittens.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, of course, you had to get the Hessian bag for 9 of them.
Yep.
And yeah, anyway, but you know, that's the way it goes now, Brian. Like, we're living in a point in society where and time and effort and things aren't going well, but you know, seriously, cat food. Like, you know, we lived on cat food for a long time there when we were living in Bolivia.
Well, yes.
You know, we didn't even have can openers. We had to smash it open with a rock.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we did it. We, you know, we were drinking a lot of alcohol, but we couldn't afford food.
No.
And the thing is that it gives you sustenance.
It does.
It makes your coat nice and shiny.
It does.
But the thing is now, Brian, people are taking advantage of it.
They are.
That, you know, everybody, I think everybody in the world's got at least one or four cats.
Yes.
This is just driving the market into a situation where I think we might have to start getting cats to do work. Well, most of mine are good at catching mice or cockroaches or rats or the odd pedestrian.
Yeah.
But they sleep a lot.
They do.
And when they're sleeping, they're fucking useless.
They are.
They lie around willy-nilly on your face or on your head, on top of the bloody barbecue, in the barbecue, or even on the boot of a car.
Yeah.
Now, this is okay when, you know, you've got one. But when you've got 15 or 16...
Yeah.
It's a trip hazard, Brian, as you know.
It is.
You know, we've got dodgy hips.
Oh, well, yes.
I'm thinking about really starting to think about just burning the house down with them in it.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a pretty good idea, Brian. You can get the insurance on the cats, which is a much more easier payout than getting insurance on property these days. So yeah, that's probably not a bad idea. Kill two birds with 7 stones, and you can move on with your life finally, Brian.
Yep.
I think this is what a lot of people are going to have to do in the next, you know, 24 hours to like a month or by century.
Mm. That's 50. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm.
That sort of stuff, Brian. People need to move on.
Yep.
Just need to gather up their goods and just go out into the street, Brian.
That's right.
And boycott a girl, a lesbian cot.
Yep.
Get out there and just lesbian cot the price of goods and services and bus tickets, Brian.
Yep.
It's just gone through the roof.
It has.
And we need to stop.
We do. I think so, Brian. I think the point of the matter is that, you know, people need pets, not just for eating them. You know, that sort of stopped.
No.
Well, sort of stopped a while ago. Yeah,
a little bit.
It's all about comfort.
Yeah.
It's all about the people need it for their mental health.
They do.
A lot of people are mental, Brian, as you're aware.
They are.
The pet gives them a soothing influence because usually the person with the pet hates everybody except the pet.
Yeah.
And when you've got a dozen of them, it takes your mind off the fact that the world sucks cocks. Now, he or she, whatever pet you've got.
Yes.
Like I said, I think vultures are probably one of the best pets I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
But you need a big cage, usually, you know, unless you take them around in a bus or something. And that's where it becomes a problem.
It does.
Because you're starting to look at more real estate. You know, cats just go anywhere they want. Dogs, they're stupid too. They'll do anything they want.
Yeah.
But vultures, they need a bit of airspace, Brian. And
they do.
You start talking about, you know, not just the fuel prices, but the fact of the paying the aviation industry money to let them fly into, you know, maybe above buildings or through a crowded spot.
Yeah.
This is always going to be where the insurance will go through the roof.
Yes.
There's a good chance that that vulture or budgerigar or whatever takes your fancy, you know, a dove, you know, one of those white doves that you rip heads off, you know, like they're good.
They're great.
They can't fly real well when they're bleeding.
No.
But, geez, they look good when they've got their head ripped off.
They do.
They've been categorised over all of time that they They're like the bird of peace.
Yeah.
Now, I like my bird in pieces, Brian.
Yes.
I love a chicken just roasted so it's black.
Oh, yeah.
And then ripping it to pieces, Brian.
Oh, you're not Abbott and Costello there, Brian. I like them when they're crunchy. Really, really crunchy.
Oh, yeah.
And they've been really crisped up nice and charred and black at the ends of the wings.
Yeah.
They're all black and, ah, it's crunchy as. I love them like that, Brian.
Yeah.
But you can't have everything like that. Sometimes you've got to take the good with the bad.
Yep.
And budgerigars are one of those things. Most of the time they're sedate, they're nice and quiet, but every now and again they go a bit mental. And I think that's just like people in general, Brian.
Yep.
People are just trying to get on with their business, and they don't want to be bothered by taxation or inflation or recessions or even necrophilia.
No.
People just have had enough.
Yeah, they have.
And they just need to be left alone and buy some more Brian coin.
I agree, Brian. And as a matter of fact, Brian coin has gone up to 4 cents overnight, I see. It's powering along now. It's right up there with the bigger cryptocurrencies.
Yep.
And I believe that in 2024, we're going to bring out the herring coin.
Yes.
That's sort of going to be a supplement.
It is.
It's something that we've been discussing now for the last 25 years. We were talking to Stephen Hawking about this many years ago, and he was saying that cryptocurrency is the new biofuel that you'll need to power your house.
Yep.
You can get the little box that has a funny voice buying things through cryptocurrency.
You can.
Which he had already done.
Yeah.
He was a seer, Brian. He used to look into the tea leaves and go, this is what's happening.
Yes.
And I would say, mate, that's coffee. And he'd go, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I know what I'm doing.
He'd
get angry. He used to get so angry.
Yeah.
He used to walk out of the room.
Yeah.
And we go, mate, you're supposed to be in your chair. And he'd go, fuck off.
Yeah.
And we go, oh, okay, sorry. Jeez, he had temper on him.
Yeah, he did. He did. Oh, Stephen Hawking was mad, absolutely mad at the end of the day. He started off quite reasonable.
Yeah.
You could have a good conversation with him. He was great to take out to lunch, particularly some of those long, boozy lunches. Love to have.
Yeah.
But I think the alcohol got to him over the years. I know the opium did.
Yeah.
And he was just a gibbering mess at the end there. But he did tell us that the cryptocurrency would be the way to go.
Yeah.
But in the case of Brian Coyne, we've been waiting for some of the new technology to come on board thanks to the alien business, the artificial alien intelligence.
Mm.
And now that that's come on the market and we have more access to it, we can really bring in the herring coin, which has the power to seduce and exterminate all the other cryptocurrencies that get within cooey of it, Brian.
Yeah. Exactly, Brian.
Yeah, Brian.
Well, Brian, I might have to wrap things up. I've got somebody masturbating at the door, and I'll get back to you. And happy days, Brian.
Happy days, Brian.
Erd and Durden, Brian. Good for you, Brian. Talk to you soon.
Okay, Brian.
Bye-bye, Brian.
Bicycle. Well, that was an interesting talk there with Archimedes Johnson from the Institute of Necrophilia. Now, he's been doing some very, very interesting work over the years, and he's found that intimate relationships with dead things is a good thing and shouldn't be looked down upon. Now that Satan is on the ascendance through good local government and state initiatives, we'll be back in a minute.